The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
There we go. Yeah. And welcome to the show. It's Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Joining me, as always, the one and only XG in the place to be. How are you?
I'm good, good.
We have a busy studio here today. Sam Scatterbrain. I want to thank Blue Chew for supporting Tinfoil Hat. Visit BlueChew.com and get your free shipment free when you use the promo code TINFOIL. Just pay $5 shipping. That does not make any sense, but that's what they want me to say. That's Blue, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code PUNCHDRUNK. I also want to thank our good friends at Lucy Gum. Lucy Gum, if you're looking for a boost of nicotine that you can enjoy anywhere without inhaling any smoke or vapor, check out the powerful, long-lasting flavors of Lucy Gum available at lucy.co. Okay, the product was designed by a team of scientists from Harvard, Stanford, and Caltech who are looking for a cleaner way to consume nicotine than smoking cigarettes or inhaling clouds of vapor. Lucy is a clean nicotine absorbed through the mouth in three delicious flavors. Just chew it a few times and let it sit against your gums. That sounds great. Believe me, I chew it like a regular gum first time and the nicotine hit me hard. Hard, dog, hard. My head was spinning. I like that. Hard nipples, head spinning, you're in a good place. If you smoke, vape, chew, you should consider making the switch to Lucy. Not only does the product give you the nicotine you want, along with great flavors, but you can literally use the product anywhere and you chew gum in the office, while you're traveling on a plane, Uber, a Subway, or eating Subway. You can even around people who normally would judge you, use the promo code TINFOIL to get $10 off your first purchase. Go to Lucy.co. That's Lucy.co. That is the most of the business right there. Lucy.co. Who's that guy?
I don't know, but he looks.
I didn't touch anything. Someone is. Who's touching wire? Nobody's touching wires.
You moved your microphone. There it is.
Oh, there we go. Well, enjoy that. That was brought to you by Clusterfuck.
Technical support.
We got Pack Studio. Please go check out the Patreon. It's kicking ass. The conspiracy's now at the Comedy Store. Everybody's enjoying it. New t-shirts are up. Go to tinfoilhattshirts.com and grab those right now. Support the show. Look at that model. Who is that? Who's that fuckable guy? That's me in a tinfoil hat t-shirt. man, I'm killing it. If you like black shirts and you're fat like me, you'll love these black shirts. Man, it really shaves off some of those tits you got rocking. So I love them. You can get them all at the different places. Thank you guys so much. Join me, a packed house, a returning champion. I've been on his show a couple times. He's doing a live show all over the world. He's one of the best guys in the game. His YouTube channel is, if you want news, I say go to his YouTube channel. Please welcome to the show, Jimmy Dore.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jimmy, fantastic. I love you. I owe you a huge apology. I feel daggers. I know you're a busy man. I fucked up, but I'm here. You could join us for this.
So I left an interview today where I was interviewing someone inside the Venezuelan embassy in D.C., which is under siege right now. I said, I have to go do something, please. We're going to go talk about Julian Assange. It's very important we get this message out. And I walked in here and Sam says, it's next week, Jimmy, it's next week. And I thought it was my fault because I'm a stoner. But it turns out it is Sam's fault.
Yeah, I was supposed to be here today. I am full. Dude, according to the internet, I'm a real asshole, okay? Yeah. And I owe you an apology.
But no, I'm here. I'm here to do it. My time will be served today, and I don't have to come back. It's like,
no, you're like banned. How about this? You're banned.
Okay, good.
After this, you're fucking done. You're done. Go to the Jimmy Dore show. Get your news there, man.
Look at that. 550,000. We just cracked 550,000.
Wow. Congratulations to you, my friend.
We're doing all right.
I thought we were killing it.
No, yeah, 50,000. I'm excited about. Joining us from another great podcast, Don't Die, right?
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it's a really good podcast, and we're going to talk a little opiate addiction, the whole, just the drug trade.
Drug and the drugs everywhere.
Bob Forrest, please welcome to the show, Bob Forrest. Thank you for coming down.
Oh, you do this fist pump with these other guys, and you want to shake my hand? What the fuck is that? So, you know, I knew where I was coming to. I used to hang out at the Comedy Store. I know all the comedians in L.A. in the last 30 years, probably. And I remember you. And I've been on Burt's. I've been on probably 20 of them. And it is really, you guys should be giving money back to Mitzi's Foundation. How many podcasts came out of the Comedy Store?
Well, for sure. You know, there's a reason why L.A. is the epicenter of podcasting. If you really look at all the big podcasts, they're all out of L.A.
Oh, for sure.
We were talking about it before the show. It's just like there's a bazillion white guys trying to make it in L.A., and there's only so many spots. So these guys who couldn't get in, the doors weren't opening, decided to make their own thing happen. You with your YouTube channel. I mean, I tell everybody, YouTube, your podcast, that is the Underground Railroad to freedom.
It's the truth, because it doesn't have to be condensed in 3 minutes, and if you fuck up a joke.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine's doing stand-up, and he's working on new bits, and he just went too far with this one thing. It's about Me Too, right?
Yeah.
I texted him like, dude, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah.
Dude, you need to soften that. And I gave him the suggestion.
I called that Thursday night.
There's no way to go back on what you just did an hour ago on stage. On podcasts, you can cover it up with a bunch of words, and nobody's listening for an hour and a half anyways. They'll forget what you said.
Yeah. Well, I just say, what can I say? And then I go up there and I say it. I think the rules of political correctness is just stupid.
There's a documentary on comedy, and Tommy Smothers, who, you know, they famously got fired because of the Nixon's there on his enemies list. Comedians, right? They're still the last people to tell the truth. Always the people that tell the truth. And it was a documentary on stand-up comedy. And he said, you know, if you give a telecomedian that there's a rule or something he can't do, he says that the first thing he's going to do if he's a real comedian is break that rule.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love that. I was just like, this is fantastic. I wish they would send this to every booker in the country.
You tell me there's a line, I'll snort that line. That's how I am. I just think it's ridiculous. I think that's a big problem right now. Why, you know, Jimmy did a show at the Dojo of Comedy. We're very blessed he does shows there. And he decided to put the show together in like 4 days. And you sold it out.
Right.
That is very hard to do.
It was, you know, people, you know, my friends ask me, like, you, my friends in comedy are like, Jimmy, what are you doing with the news over there? I'm like, I'm not really doing anything except telling the truth, because the news media will never tell you the truth about war, foreign intervention, or never tell you the truth about the banks.
The drug epidemic.
They aren't telling you the truth, and they make it very easy. And I had this guy, Greg Palast, he's an award-winning reporter he worked for the BBC and Rolling Stone. And he said, you know, you don't have to be a great investigative journalist. All you have to, or even be a bad one. He said, all you have to do is look down the street and report back. And that's not what they're doing, because they're being paid to do the opposite. I mean, look at Phil Donahue was fired from MSNBC for telling the truth about the Iraq war. You think they would have him back on all the time because he got the Iraq war right? No, they don't want that guy back on. That's not what they're about. They're about selling bombs and selling newspapers and getting clicks, which is why Rachel Maddow hasn't apologized for pushing an evidence-free red-baiting conspiracy theory for the last 3 years. None of them have. They've just moved on. It's WMDs all over again. They make it real easy for me because I'm one of the handful of guys who got Russiagate right, Venezuela right, Syria right, Libya right. It's not hard to do. You just have to look down the street and report back what's happening. And that's what the corporate media aren't going to do, because they are owned and funded by the people they're supposed to be investigating and exposed.
It's so deep,
man. When you're born and raised in a culture like I'm I have my kind of. I was arrested for solicitation to kill the president in 1992.
What? So I got married the lead.
How do I get a fist bump?
There you go.
So
that's badass.
The idea. No,
explain how you were trying to do it,
please.
Though. Yeah, you got to explain how you were trying to do that.
I was just trying to inspire others to do it. I was a rock musician, and I went on stage, and I'd say, you know, if you do this. You know, I don't want to say it. Well, he just died recently, W. Bush, H.W. Yeah. So I said, you know, you'll be on the cover of Time and Newsweek. You will be more famous than Bruce Springsteen. Trust me, there's somebody out there. You're sleeping on somebody's couch. Your life is fucking over. And so
you
some
can't
kids
say that stuff.
We're all getting a knock.
So I was saying it every night on this tour. And for some reason or another, in Washington, D.C., these two kids that came to the concert, it was my band, Thelonious Monster, and Soul Asylum. I don't know if you ever heard that band. But two of the kids in the audience, parents worked in the Justice Department.
Oh,
and
my
they said over breakfast, you know, there was this guy last night at this concert saying that and they followed me around Secret Service, and they took me into custody, and I had to grand jury, in front of the grand jury, they asked me all these questions, like, what if somebody would have taken action on your request? I was like, oh, I would feel bad. And inside of me, like, I would feel like the most powerful rock star in the world.
Now they'll visit
your
house.
The point being, though, that I grew up in a progressive household where Howard Zinn was commonly quoted and talked about. The truth of America was commonly talked about. I've tried, now I work with 20-somethings and millennials, I've tried to educate them about the history of America. They don't really care.
No. They don't.
That's the fucked up thing. So that's why the news just gives them shit they want to swallow.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, people don't realize it goes back to 1996 when Bill Clinton passed the Telecommunications Act, which got rid of all the rules on media ownership. And used to be we had 50 giant media companies, and they were all pretty big already. Well, after the Telecommunications Act, now there's 6. So every radio
announced on the 5, right? Because didn't Disney buy out Fox?
Oh, right. Isn't Disney buying Fox now?
Yeah. They had to give up their local – the big thing. You got to give up those local sports stations. You own too much of the sports fucking message.
Because that's what controls the culture.
Right, right?
Yeah.
And guess who's buying it? Ice Cube. Can you believe that? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, then you look into the
fuck
whole...
the police. I
yeah, right?
I thought, fuck the police. Now he needs the police to protect his millions.
Yeah.
That's
millions.
Weird, right?
It's millions. That's pocket change.
Yeah. Billions. Two guys from NWA now are like billionaire. It's like shady shit, dude.
Yeah, guys from NWA. I was just going to say that. Two guys from NWA are billionaires.
You can't
think about that.
You can't be
think about what happened in one generation.
Yeah. So that's called co-opting.
That's crazy.
Right? That's when the capitalists co-opt a message.
Yes.
That's what that's called, right?
That's ultimately it.
Yeah.
So you're selling gangsterism, but you're becoming the fucking 1%, 0.1%, and now you actually rely on the system, and now he needs those cops to protect his shit.
Yeah, yeah. They were put there. We're going to get into the drug stuff because it plays in to the gangster rap culture. We've done a ton of shows on it where it's like, you know, it's like I said this last week, and I'm going to say it about a lot of stuff. It's like black culture, what it is today, was not created by the black community. It was by very high-level lizard people who decided, we're going to push this kind of...
Jimmy Iovine, his name is.
Right? So you got these guys who, like, NWA got... You had all these great, like, Public Enemy, all this great rap, it was called, was, like, dominating. It was all positive stuff. They got pushed out. And pushed in was NWA, DMX. All these guys are pushing, shooting, gangbanging, knocking up everybody. And that's all done on purpose because the people who own the prisons own the record label. And they own the drug trade, man.
Right.
And that's where we're at today.
Well, I don't feel comfortable talking about black culture as a white guy.
I do. I grew up on it. I grew up on the whole thing.
I did too. I was always ostracized because when I grew up when there was that reaction to disco, and so people hated but I loved the black. I was into people like Teddy Pendergrass. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was back with that. And then and when rap first started, I remember that, right? So Rapper's Delight and all that stuff. And I was into that, and so I was made fun of. I went to a Catholic high school anyway, but I still don't feel talking about it because you know I'm not smart enough to talk about it, but
let's talk about the white community. There's an old joke, you can go back to 1996, where Chris Rock says, that when the prescription drug epidemic comes along, I believe comedians are the truth tellers of
the
world.
Thank you.
There's no, you don't need, you need to listen to Lenny Bruce and George Carlin and Richard Pryor and you guys, not the fucking news, not bullshit
and
media.
And Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks, there you go. So Purdue started first direct-to-consumer marketing, which if you're as old as me, I'm 58. I was watching the Bulls basketball game, 1986, 87, 88. This commercial comes on. It's a sexy gal spinning around a sundress in a field full of flowers. I'm like, this is a new show I want to watch because I was into Dawson's Creek. I'm into any of that stuff, right? And at the end, it says, could cause sterilization, vomiting, diarrhea, or death. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
Wow.
It was the first drug commercial I'd ever seen on television. Direct-to-consumer marketing on television, which they didn't allow alcohol to be advertised, but they allow prescription drugs that you
amazing.
Need a unwritten order from a doctor to get.
Yes.
The Sacklers and Purdue Pharmaceutical invented that. And then they came along and repackaged morphine in OxyContin, and then that's when the whole thing comes slamming down.
So right? I want to get into how what we just talked about, you're uncomfortable with it. I think everybody should be able to talk about everybody. We look at the crack epidemic, okay?
Right.
When we find out George Bush.
Put him in jail. Execute him.
You know, so the people.
When it's white people, treatment.
Yeah,
oh,
that's great. It's totally true. So we have the guys who are like shipping in the crack. The coke. Everybody's looking at the Florida.
All
it's
white
really
people.
Coming through
All
Arkansas,
white people.
Right? So now you have the people shipping it in are the ones who're supposed to be protecting us from it. The people who are selling it are the ones who are arresting us for buying it. And then the people who own the prisons are the ones who are doing everything. And that's correct. I think that's what we're seeing right now with heroin. I mean, with opiates. That we are protecting poppy fields
in
Afghanistan.
For sure.
They're shipping it in. They're selling it to us. But I think this is what they did to the black community with crack. They're doing it with heroin.
Yeah, there's more people at the table now because there's so much profit and everybody knows it. And Chris's bit in the late 90s was, I think the white people saw how much money the black and brown people were making off of this fucking, off of drugs and said, we got to get the money back in the hands of the white people where it belongs.
Yeah.
That's what Purdue Pharmaceutical is. Make no mistake. OxyContin and heroin are the same fucking thing. It's just a matter of how fast it hits your system and how long it stays in it.
Really?
That's the only difference.
I was lucky I was never prescribed OxyContin or whatever, any of those. I was always a Vicodin guy, which Vicodin
is very
mild. Yeah,
it takes a million of them. It takes a million
very, it, like, compare, like, to me, it's very strong Vicodin because you can put a hole in my jaw and I can take a Vicodin and I won't feel it.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me addicted. Like, I took them for a while because I had a bone thing. And so for years I took Vicodin. But as soon as I didn't need them, I walked right away from them. It didn't fuck me up. So I was just thankful that I never had a doctor. Why a doctor didn't prescribe me OxyContin, I have no idea. But that's the thing that kills people. That gets you hooked.
Well, what gets you hooked is hopelessness and helplessness.
Yes.
When you look at the opiate crisis, it's the Rust Belt, it's Trump land, it's West Virginia, where coal jobs apparently
There's
are coming
no jobs
back.
To those people.
Apparently, that's the hope of the future.
Yeah.
Ohio, right? Why don't we talk about jobs that are going to go away because of these? This
everything.
Thing.
Well, that's a big part of it. I mean, if you look at jobs in like
it's jobs,
urban,
multi-generational. Poverty. Where are the biggest drug epidemics happen? The one you're talking about in the urban areas and multi-generational poverty, hopelessness and helplessness. That's the crack epidemic. This was the same thing in the white people's version of the hood.
Yeah.
Right? And if you want to go all conspiracy, if you want to go all tinfoil
it's
hat.
Tinfoil hat.
It's just a thinning of the herd. We got too many poor people.
Extinction.
Will you go that far?
Oh, yeah, big time, dude.
Oh, yeah, we go flat earth.
I mean, we're talking 5G here. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you see these towers going up? When the 5G hits, man, they're already having problems. They put a 5G near
Does it really matter that 72,000 poor people die every year in America off of OxyContin? Not really. Not to Purdue Pharmaceuticals, it doesn't. Not to powers that the structure that be, right? It'd be probably better if they were in prison so we could make a lot of money off them being institutionalized. But what can you do with poor people?
Can you do, dude? I mean, like,
you can raise them up.
Yeah, for sure.
And empower them. But it takes all of us standing together and saying, fuck this shit.
Do you know what that would do to the prison labor system? Come on, dude. We have a prison labor system. That is the backbone of capitalism. It always has been
right.
Prison labor. It started with slavery, and now it's just prisoners.
Yeah.
So they got the new Jim Crow. They got rid of that. Now, you know, we just take black and brown people. We put them in prison at a much, much higher, 16 to 1, I think, yeah, higher rates than white people committing the same crimes. So now we, and then they put them to work for companies for free. They're slaves. It's the modern day
so
slavery.
So when you tell your friends America is a racist society, what they say, no, not really. Isn't I'm not racist.
Like even Republicans admit that the criminal justice system is unbelievably racist.
That's because Kushner's dad went to jail. That's and all. Then,
and then 50 of the people in there are all for drugs, for nonviolent
that's
offenses.
That's right. So you make these drugs crimes, yeah, way worse than rape even, right? So you get caught with it. It's a good thing, you know, if you get caught raping somebody, don't have a joint in your pocket, because if you'll get a real sentence if you get a joint in your pocket. So that's really what's happened. Yeah, we live in a racist society. People don't realize it. Wait a minute. We had a black guy that was in charge of the Justice Department. Yeah, he came from Wall Street. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with class.
Yes, 100%.
Right. And that's what this opiate crisis was. It was a leveling of that white multi-generational poverty class. They were ripe. When you look at what Purdue did, they distributed millions and millions of doses of OxyContin into Huntington, West Virginia, Lakeside, Ohio. There was enough OxyContin to kill the whole city of Huntington, West Virginia every month. because this is what Purdue's inside thing, and that's why I hope all of them go to jail, but I doubt they will, is they called it diverting. We understand that these bad addicts might divert some of this medication. Ah. They fucking knew. Diversion means sell it on the street. Mm-hmm. It's a nice way of saying...
How do you think guns get into the bad addicts?
Diversion.
There's a van there that just happens to be there full of guns. Why is it there? Because the people who sell the guns put the guns there.
Yeah.
It's the 100% done on purpose.
So what do we do? That's a question people turn to me. Like,
well,
what do
start,
you do?
Well, let's unpackage this real quick.
I think pot's the solution to the opiate crisis.
We'll get into that. I want to get into that. So we did an episode earlier about how basically the power structure of the United States was basically constructed by the opium dealing families. I mean, if you look at all the Ivy League schools, each one was started by a different
Rothschild
opium thing. Like the Russells created. The Russells, who were a famous opium-dealing family, worked with the British India Company. They created the Skull and Crossbones. And what they did was they created something that would give their children, their family, a head up on everybody. Everybody who graduates from the Skull and Crossbones basically got the equivalent of that time of $200,000 of today, okay?
That's like living in Saudi Arabia now.
100%. Awesome. So now that you got these guys, we create this, like, our Supreme Court is all Yale and Harvard people.
Right.
It is everybody, listen, it's a conspiracy thing. These people run the world. These people run. It's not, dude.
Obama's entire cabinet came from a single email from Citicorp. This isn't a conspiracy theory. These are facts revealed by Julian Assange.
Yes.
Which is why they want to kill him.
Yes. Which is, I have a crazy theory for you too, though. We'll get into that later. But so basically, if you know in China, to deal drugs is a capital offense.
Iran too.
Yeah.
And there's very little drug problems there.
And the reason
if it's a disease, how does it get rectified by saying anybody that has it we kill and then everyone else stops taking it?
Well, the reason they did
that.
You
understand? I don't think it's a disease.
The British.
Well, I mean, you can control people's behavior in a totalitarian system. That doesn't mean that there are.
You can't stop them from having cancer. In American Medical Association says addiction is a disease just like cancer. No, it's not, because if you held a gun to somebody's head and said, I'll kill you if you got cancer, they can't stop from having cancer. But you can stop people from doing
drugs.
I think
it's an illness, not a disease.
Yeah, it's like...
I think it's an illness. It's a mental illness.
Here's a way of looking at it. I think it's a disease of hopelessness and helplessness and a lack of resiliency. So if you're like the ideas of Ice Cube came a little better background, but Dr. Dre came from the hood in poverty.
Right.
Right? Look where he is now.
Right.
The addict populations that you see in the Rust Belt and multi-generationally in the hood from the crack epidemic, they don't have that belief that good things are possible.
Right.
Right? So there's something inherent in that population that just gives up and just becomes, you know,
it's systematic.
The system
so you're
works
saying
against
that they're,
them.
Are you saying it's because they give up? That's why they're the
I don't
way they
think
are?
They
not
even
because
have
of systemic
strong...
economic racism?
Yes,
over...
yes well, there's that machine
that
on top.
Oh, okay.
But why do only
it.
Some people in that population get caught up in it?
Some?
Yeah, two thirds, let's say.
So
say why the other third rises up?
It's the
what
exact,
is it the difference?
Well, no, it's not a third even. It's the exact opposite. They point to people like Obama or Dre, and they say, "Look, they did it, so why can't you?" Well, they're the fucking exception, right? The most people can't do it, and that's the big lie of capitalism.
And there is something that they basically agree to play ball.
I mean, of course.
There's a reason why Snoop Dogg is doing shows with Martha Stewart. You know, he was on trial for murder, and he got on. No one knew how he got off. Everyone's like, how the fuck?
Everybody forgot he was on trial for murder, too.
And now he's hosting the Kids' Choice Awards, and all this stuff is all systematically done.
Yeah.
They look at Snoop Dogg. They're like, I want to be like. They find he's a crip. It's all done on purpose. And what I think you were alluding to, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when you say that people give up hope, like the crack epidemic was, let's get the male figure out of the family, lock them in jail. These mothers have to raise these kids by themselves, and there's no male authority, and it's just chaos.
Decimate.
And that's
decimate.
What's happening in the
Here's
white
an interesting
right
thing.
Now.
If you want to go conspiracy route, I'm getting the drift of where you're going. Where the crack epidemics happen, you ever been back there now?
No.
It's all gentrified. All northern Washington, D.C., all the Bronx. It's all gentrified. Maybe they just wanted those people out of there so they could raise the price.
People say that.
He's getting excited.
People say it's because of Flint. They say that's the same thing. They want those people out of there. They want to turn Flint into, you know, condos and shit like that. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's, but that certainly makes sense.
You know, it's very interesting. Remember that giant tower that burned recently in
the Glenfield Tower?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get all those people out. And they're like, okay, you know what, Hamu? Gone. They were told to stay in. Listen,
yeah,
dude.
I know. They told.
They were
to
told
in.
To stay. Go back in your apartments, man.
When the fire? Building was on
fire.
Yes.
Fire.
Yes, they were told to go back into the building. That's all about regentrification. Now, here's where I get weird.
Well, wait a minute, though. You had the same reaction I had. Like, somebody tells me to go back in the apartment when the building's on fire. Fuck no. You. Yeah.
How many
fuck
fire?
You.
How many fire drills did we have? How many firewood drills do we have? And the first thing is get the fuck out. That's the first thing I remember. Get the
so
fuck
why
out.
Would you, see, it's like sheep. That's
yeah,
what I'm
well,
saying.
I mean, like here's the thing, dude. People are so much dumber now. No, people are just, they're just,
bombarded.
Their brains are polluted with useless knowledge, okay? So, like, Russian peasants of the 1500s weren't worried about, like, who Kim Kardashian's banging right now. They are, listen. Obama
what about Jesus? You
role.
Can't forget Jesus in all this, can you?
No, we're getting Jesus. He was in. No, I got in trouble last week for saying every time the church gets fucking busted diddly kids, we burn
nuns?
Down another church.
Listen to me about the Catholic Church. Listen to me. First, we all know the pedophilism, and then the kind of debauchery that happened. Now they have nuns as sex slaves, and people still believe in this bullshit.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me.
Well,
it's
dude, kind of we are a country
they
that's suffering from
slaves.
Stockholm syndrome.
There's lots of comedians.
Are you looking it up?
Defend the religion.
What?
There's lots of comedians who, in their act on stage, defend religion.
Oh yeah, there's a million.
Which is mind blowing to me. Like the whole point you become a comedian is because you want to be an outsider and you want to throw spitballs at the establishment. Why would you use your comedy to prop
Here
up the fucking thing that is a big group
sex
thing?
Sex slaves, dude. And yeah. These people go there,
dude,
and take a little wafer
power,
and put it in their
corrupts.
Mouth.
It's
they put 100%. It in their mouth and they think it's the body of Jesus.
And wine and the blood and the blood.
Yeah, man. I mean,
so, a transamutation, or that's the word. I grew up Catholic, and we were taught that it doesn't symbolically become the body
of
blood.
Is
it
the body
literally
of
becomes the body of Christ.
Where did you go to school?
I went Catholic in Chicago.
I went here in Culver City at St. Augustine's, and when my first time I got it, I took it out of my mouth, like looking at it, like it doesn't look like flesh to me.
It ain't bleeding.
And how gross that they
were. Where's the blood?
That it's a cannibal ceremony.
It really is.
It's great. It's a death cult. The whole thing is a torture instrument. You walk in it all day. It's weird. It's a whole weird thing.
Santa Claus is a weird thing. You ever look into Santa Claus? That's blackmail, dog.
Santa Claus comes from Denmark.
Blackmail you. Hold on. Your parents blackmail you into acting good. And if you don't act good, this mystical creature comes and passes on you and gives all the other kids good toys.
Do you know
it's
about
blackmail.
It?
Do you
and
know
everybody's
about
supposed
the truth
to agree.
The root of it? There's these little black guys that go around with him. It starts. and look that shit up. God damn, I got to be a part of this show. I know all this.
You're on. You're on.
Look up, because it's from Holland, and there's this guy that comes with his black helpers.
Oh, yeah, that's the, they got in big trouble for that. The actual story of Santa Claus is based on these Nordic countries and how the shaman, I do a joke about my act about how the shaman in the winter would come to your house on a sleigh, and he'd enter because the snow was so high, he'd go through the window, and you would be sitting in your living room. He'd eat the shrooms, trip balls, and the miracle of Christmas was this guy tripping balls in your living room. And I go, how much better would church be on shrooms? Because you know what you don't want to do on shrooms? Fuck kids. That's what you don't want to do. Ever try to jerk off while you're fucking on shrooms? It's like, we get it, Bernie. It's like dead weight, bro.
Actually, have you not? I've been on LSD at church. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Have you done LSD at church?
I've never done LSD.
Ever?
Oh, I was there for hours. It was beautiful.
I did mushrooms at my friend's memorial. It was Kevin, known as WeHo Jesus, and he had passed away. And I thought, what a great time to do shrooms and talk to God at the death of his gay son. So I went there. I was just tripping balls at my friend's memorial, you know?
I've taken mushrooms maybe 3 or 4 times.
I love
them. That's it. I just,
no acid?
No, I'm afraid of acid. I'm afraid that something bad will happen to me.
My whole thing, if you want to commit suicide, all I ask is that, one, you don't do it. And two, try shrooms. Just try shrooms. Before you're about to do whatever
try
you do,
pot.
Eat some shrooms and just talk to God for a second. Dude, every time I've ever done shrooms.
How much have you ate? Like a good amount? Like an eighth?
No, I don't go that crazy. But the times I've done it back in the past, I've always come out of it going, okay, everything's going
to
be all right.
See, drugs used to be a rite of passage. For multi-generationally, since they kind of came along in the rock and roll era, people took drugs and it was a rite of passage. Everybody did it. Everybody did shrooms. Everybody, even in my generation, took heroin. You didn't become addicted to it. There was only a certain part of the population that became addicted to it. But this opiate epidemic is different than that. The opiate population traditionally in America was 0.3%. Only 0.3% of the people were heroin addicts and then got on methadone. I was one of them. And I introduced every girlfriend I had to it, every person I knew. I was a big promoter of heroin.
Hey, kid, try this cool thing. It's called heroin.
No, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And so you want to share that with your friends. As soon as they got away from me, they didn't take it anymore. Now, with this opiate crisis that started to happen in the new millennial, it's crazy how much a percentage of the population.
Do you know what the percentage is? Well,
it went from the overall addiction thing they believe now is 17-20% of the population are addicted to
something
mind-altering drug, right?
That's
and it
a
used
lot.
To be 5-8%. So it just more than doubled in 20 years. And I got to say, it can't be that all of a sudden all these genetically predisposed to a disease got exposed to it. It's something about our culture. It's something about poverty. It's something
There's definitely something
stress.
To that.
Stress. It's something about anxiety. It's something about – here's the thing. I was told, because I'm a Gen Xer, the beginning of Gen Xers, I was told I was never going to live as well as my parents, right?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'll eat them for fucking lunch. You know what I mean? You tell millennials they're not going to live as good as their parents. They just go, I know. Like, what happened to the fuck
okay,
you?
Here we
what
go.
Happened to the antisocial
Bob, hear
kind
me
of
out.
Self-determination
I
that
want
Americans
you to hear me
were?
Out.
Where did it go?
Here's my theory, okay? This whole thing, helicopter moms, political correctness.
Best friend parents.
Dr. Seuss and his new
parents.
Way of, or Dr. Spock, whatever his name is, on the new way to raise children. This is so diabolical. It is done on purpose. So when you get to the real world, you fracture because you've been told all this shit is going to happen. This is how the world works. And then you get into a den of vipers and it doesn't, you fracture. So what do? You start going to therapy, which I'm not saying therapy is bad. And then you get on prescription medication.
Prescription drugs
and
for anxiety.
And now everybody's on antidepressants because we're told if you are depressed, something's wrong with you. I take depression, anger, sadness, as my body, my spirits tell me, I got to mix shit up. I got to change it up because what I'm doing right now isn't right. What these kids are being told is they're perfect, everything's great, and then they get to the real world and they're told, fuck you, you don't know anything, and they can't take it. And now they're depressed because nothing they were told is real in the real world. And now they got to get on prescription.
Let me give you an example
medication.
Of that. I do a medical lecture about the amygdala in the brain gets reprioritized from habitual use of drugs. It happens, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Pot just, even?
Pot, long-term pot, but
really?
Less pot.
I don't know.
Alcohol, no, you understand. What is the top priority? Survival, safety, comfort, sex drive. Drugs start to reprioritize that. Right?
Right.
So it's a simple lecture. It's been around for 50 years, science. I'm doing a lecture at this rehab that I own out in Malibu, and a girl raises her hand, 19-year-old girl, and she goes, I just disagree with all that. And I retorted.
She's hot. She's really hot.
I retorted in true punk rock fashion. Who gives a fuck what you think?
Nobody tells them.
Oh my God!
That.
She started crying. All the clients aligned against me. I thought they were going to beat me up. I had to leave the building and call my partner. I think I really fucked up tonight.
No, dude, right? It's the truth. I used to take
that's that mob mentality. Instead of saying, yeah, she's kind of a smartass, fuck her.
Because everybody's trying to bang
her. They're all
her,
like,
dude.
Oh, we got to rescue her. Oh, yeah, they might have been that.
Yeah, too. They're all in the rehab. They're like, she's the only thing fucking happy here. Let me hit that shit.
Well, I'll tell you, I think what the real disease of Americans is that we don't have the ability to live in the present moment. We're constantly taught from the time we're a kid to prepare for the next moment and the next day. And, you know, there's lots of different philosophers who talk. This isn't my theory. This is I've heard Alan Watts talk about this and Eckhart Tolle talk about this. And it's like there's no point in making plans for the future if you're not able to live in the present. And we are not able to live in the present, right? So even when that thing comes that you've been waiting for, it feels empty because our brain isn't conditioned to know how to experience anything. Our brain is only conditioned to know how to prepare to experience something. We're always supposed to be sacrificing the present moment for a better moment in the future, which all moments are equal because the only moment you ever have is the one that's right now. Right. There is no such thing as a future moment. And that's what causes anxiety. I'm on 3 fucking blood pressure medicines. It's because I cannot not stop living in the future, and I'm trying everything I can to figure out how to be more present, how to not do that shit, because that's the key to life. And that's what psychedelics do, by the way. So they put you in touch with your senses.
Right then.
And they overwhelm you, your senses, so you become in that present moment, and that's why that's where God is, right? That's when you transcend all that shit and you find out who you really are, because you're not wrapped up in the present. I mean, you're not wrapped up in the future or the past. You're right now, which is why I love being a stand-up comedian, because the only time during the day when I am present is when I'm on stage.
Yes.
I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm yesterday. I'm thinking about right fucking now.
Yes.
And I come off stage feeling alive. When I do my show in my garage for YouTube, I come off feeling drained. And I don't know why that is, but that's why I love live performing, and that's what I think. But that's the big problem, I think, with people, is they're not able to live in the present moment, and all their pain is manufactured because of a story they tell themselves about a future moment in their head that's going to be unfavorable. It's all mind gymnastics. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. I can't do it.
Right,
well,
right.
Cognitive behavioral therapy says, let's go back in time. Probably your whole life, you had plans, and they didn't happen, but really good shit happened. Right? Why are we so caught up? And I love this. I always say, I don't have a retirement plan because I'll be dead.
Yeah, I'm just that's my plan.
I don't need $1 million because I'm just going to spend it until I die, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and my friends really are worried about me. They're like, dude, come on now, don't joke around about that.
Yeah.
You're getting older. You got to think about this. I go, dude, I'm going to work and then I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to live my whole life penny pinching and not doing fun things and buying records.
More.
Fuck you. And they're going to have $1 million, live in Palm Springs, and sit around and look at the sun go down.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I know
what I mean? But nothing I ever planned really worked out the way I thought it was. I became a singer in a band because a friend of mine said, we're going to start a band. You're going to be the singer. I was going to be a journalist. I'm going to SC. He goes, fuck that. Put that in the hole. Right? Greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
Because I was going to go to school at USC. See, in 1981, journalism was dying. My great plan was to go to SC, work my ass off, spend a bunch of my family's dough, and then I'd be like millennials nowadays, living back at my parents' house. I was like, oh, shit. There's no jobs.
Yeah.
So I became a rock singer that led to being a drug counselor and led all this weird shit. So any plans I had never worked out, right? So
there's
don't be so anxious that we have to plan for the future. Just embrace the fucking now and how crazy life is.
There's a saying in AA, right? It's just basically, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you've been in L.A. a long time, How many times have you seen your friends get everything they wanted and they're still fucking miserable?
A friend of mine put a shotgun in its mouth and blew his head off.
Yeah. Right? I mean, dude, that's happiness crazy. Isn't things.
You know what everyone thought when Kurt Cobain killed himself, right? When all the friends of his and everybody who was a musician like I was and whatever, an acquaintance with him, thought, yeah, if I had that shit, I wouldn't have done that. It would be different if I got what he got.
No, do you understand?
You totally can't relate. Like, he's the greatest message that fame and money doesn't mean shit if you're fucked up.
Well, let me tell you
something. But every fucked up person I know, including myself, thought, you know what? If that would have happened to me, I would have fucking dealt with that shit different. I would have enjoyed it.
Jimmy, what?
The story is that never seems to sink into people. Is that if that's the – so what happens to people is they always think, well, if I achieve this goal, then I'll be happy. So I'll sacrifice or whatever, and once I get this goal, I'll be happy. They reach the goal. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Which is disillusioning.
And then – so now they don't know what to do. Well, I already have everything. And that's when they start becoming drug addicts, or that's when they start becoming sex addicts. That's the oldest fucking story in the world. Once someone gets everything and they still feel exactly the same, external events did not change my mental conditioning, and I'm still living for this moment that's not coming. I don't know how to be here in the present moment, and that's when a lot of people turn to drugs. That's
smart, smart people make new goals, right?
But at some time, at some point, you get burned out because those goals aren't satisfying. Because those are ego.
I've done it three times. Okay. I want to become a good musician.
Yeah, but that's you, Bob. No, but I'm addressed. No, but I mean, you figure shit out.
No, but I'm gonna tell you how to do it. Have children late in life. So I have an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old. I'm 58. Like, I know what I'm doing from here on out.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't do it early on. Right? So there is something you can do to make your focus of your life.
But see, the message isn't told them to that, dude. They're told, dude, there's people still getting married at 20 years old in this. And you're like, no one in your family? Here's the big thing.
Which parent did they move into?
Here's what I have a problem with. It's like feminism, right? I love feminism. But old feminists lie to young feminists all the fucking time. When young comics come to me and they go, hey, Sam, you got any advice? I tell them, listen, this is what I did, and I'm going to tell you what successful people did. And you figure out which path is best for you. I tell them both of them. I'm a happy guy. I'm not perfect, but I'm a happy guy. I know dudes who are fucking rich as fuck, miserable, and they did it this way. I'm happy. This is how I give them both sides. We don't tell the earlier generation both sides of the argument.
Right.
We only give them the feel good. It's gonna go good. You know, my cousin, I remember when he got cut from his first team in high school, and his dad was so sad. I go, that's the best thing that ever happened to him, man. It's great to learn failure early. I am blessed in my life that I got my dick kicked in this town for the first fucking 18 years I was here. I've been here 20 years. The last 2 years have been good. The rest of it is just a fucking bunch of suits just kicking my dick in for fucking 20 years, right? But the blessings now is like when I take a loss, it does not affect me. I know people that have gotten everything they wanted and they take a loss and they don't know how to fucking handle it. We are lying to our kids. We're being told to lie to our kids that life is the best life is a perfect life. And that's not a perfect life, dude. Life is real. Life has consequences, man. So that's why. And it's all done on purpose, man. The way we raise our kids, we're basically told to us by people who are paid by these pharmaceutical companies to raise these kids this way.
Right.
Raise them to believe this. Don't hit your kids. And we don't think a smack, but a fucking spank on the butt. That sent us, but we got that demonized. Now all dads are like, they don't want to be the bad guy anymore. My dad came in and threw me across the room when I beat my brother up, man. You're an awful father if you do that now.
This theory of what's wrong with is that people just aren't brutal enough with their kids. It's just a funny theory to me. Because I remember one time...
Not brutal. I think that's the wrong description. I think honest.
He's describing honesty, really.
So
it's honest.
Because I got, you know, we all got it. I got a fucking shit beat out of me, and it didn't make me a better person.
I'm not saying that. That's not what
I went to Catholic school. They hit me at school. But I come home. My parents hit us at home. We go to the park. Fucking other people hit me.
I'm not saying that, Jimmy. What I'm saying is discipline.
Like everybody getting the first place trophy.
Yeah, that's just...
Well, that's...
Right, we're leading
like
it into
but
just
I
like...
Do this, yeah. I do this with my children. Like, my son come up to me and tell me something. I say, you know, nobody gives a fuck. You say that to an 8-year old, they're like, whoa, that's fucking true.
Yeah. It's the best thing ever. The best thing I ever learned in AA.
You don't have to hit them, you just have to fuck with them.
The best thing I ever learned in AA was that nobody's thinking about me. And it sounds like such a fucking lonely thing. It's the best thing. I used to think there were shadow people out there trying to hold me back because I was so good. They didn't want Triple E to fucking get it. And when I got an AA and they made me do my list of shit, that all the resentments I had, what do they all have in common? I go, I don't know. You motherfucker. You're the one that's in the fucking. I go, holy shit. And then I looked at my dad, and my dad, God bless him, not a perfect man, but went to war with everybody. And I remember even as a kid going, my dad, I go, Dad, you can't fight everybody. And then I go, I'm turning into my father.
Right.
Okay?
That's
because I'm blaming everybody for, and not looking at my role in shit. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying go and punch a kid in the face and all of a sudden you're a good parent.
Right.
But there's like, dude, this notion that everybody wins and like,
no,
and
that's
if you're
a bad
not
idea.
Winning,
I think that's
you're
a
losing.
Bad idea. And it's, you have to teach people how to accept failure, and failure will often. You know, give you the impetus to become better or do better. But I, what did you go to AA for? Was it for drinking?
Dude, I'm the reason why they started charging comics for drinks at the Comedy Store. I went really hard in the paint. I used to think that life was all about the greatest stories ever, right?
Did you live in the sober living house up the street behind
there? No, dude, I've never gone.
She had a sober living, Mitzi.
No, but not when I was there. Oh, she'd already moved on from that.
She gave up on that.
Yeah, she's like, I can't save you, motherfucker.
So it was drinking?
Drinking and cocaine.
Oh, cocaine's making a comeback.
Cocaine hasn't gone anywhere. They're just not telling you about it. That's what I'm like, is anyone doing coke at the store? And they're like, yeah, everybody's on coke.
They've
like,
been
really?
Doing it.
I never did coke. I mean, I did it like 3 times in college, but you know, it's just, I had so many bad examples in my neighborhood growing up. Like everybody was either a cop or a criminal where I grew up. And you see the guys, the drug dealers, it's just like amazing. I would get up to go do brickwork at 7 in the morning in the garage where we kept our shit. It was right across the street from this park that had a payphone before cell phones. And you'd see 3 or 4 guys standing around the payphone at like 6, 7 in the
waiting
morning.
For every call,
waiting
yeah.
for a call because they're trying to get calm. Like, man, I'll never fucking be one of those guys. Thank God I didn't.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, now it's bad. I don't think people realize that cocaine is very dangerous. It's very dangerous.
You can Venmo now. Even more dangerous. Yeah. You can just Venmo that shit straight. You don't even got to go to the, you don't got to go to the ATM no more. You're just like, here.
Yeah, but they got fentanyl in them too.
Yeah.
And that comes from where? China.
You hear about the,
what
the
is that?
Channel 5 news guy?
What is fentanyl?
Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. That story's so
sad. Oh, my
so
God.
Sad,
the guy thought he was doing meth. He was doing fentanyl. He
what
died.
Is it? What is fentanyl?
No, it's is like, that the story? Because I heard he did so much and the story's just nuts.
Well, the story,
the story
of what happened.
Oh, my God.
That's a whole other show.
Okay.
There was a lot of sex involved in
but
all kinds
no more
of stuff.
Fentanyl.
Mass fisting.
But it was fentanyl. So fentanyl is...
What is that fisting?
Fentanyl is 100 times stronger than OxyContin.
Whoa.
Then there's a thing called carfentanil that is 1,000 times stronger than fentanyl. So a little granule can kill you.
Oh, wow.
And that's why where they break the stuff up, they were doing it in like crack motels, the old crack motels on Beach Boulevard in Huntington Beach. And the whole place, everybody died. The police responders came and they died.
Really?
They overdosed from coming in contact with it.
Really?
You haven't heard about this
yet? No. I never heard
it's
that.
It's called carfentanil. It's even stronger. They got, and they just, it's crazy. Because the opiate demand in America is so widespread and so desperate because the...
We're in end-stage capitalism.
Yeah. The Chinese just started saying, we got this shit that's really strong. We should get it over there. Well, that's why I say there's a lot of people at the table. There's there's Wall Street. There's the gangs and Crips and Hell's Angels ain't going anywhere. Now the Chinese are coming in. The Mexicans are in. El Chavo's in.
El Chavo's right? A district manager, dude.
Yeah, right?
That's all
so
I
they're
was,
all
dude.
At the table
CIA.
Trying to distribute this hopelessness. That's what I really do believe we need hope, and not in a corny way. Like I really was disappointed in Obama. I just thought he was the biggest disappointment. Hope in a real way where people love each other and mentor kids in your neighborhood, right? My dad died when I was 15. Like 3 other guys stepped in. What the fuck happened to that world that
we
used to live in?
We don't get taught that anymore.
Well, I think you'll get sued. People are worried they'll get sued.
Well, that's another point.
Well, right now, those three guys who would step in are now working two or three jobs.
Right. They don't have
they
the
don't
time.
They don't have the time to do coach. That shit.
And that's another thing that I think is a huge point. I mean, like, it's so – you realize, like, they got this thing thought so much, right? Here's the plan. Pull out labor. Economics, right? Now you got no economics. Flood it with drugs, right? Am I talking about fucking Inglewood or am I talking about upstate New York right now? Pull out the jobs. Flood the area with drugs. Get the dads hooked up. Pull the dads and the moms out of the family. Nobody's raising the kids anymore.
Do you see that?
And the, no, what's this?
Carfentanil.
So it goes from heroin to fentanyl to carfentanil on like how much stronger it is.
Again, it's twice
like
as
much.
Like
how much power you need to get that high.
Carfentanil is
like
crazy.
There's like one dot in
have
there.
You heard of why we have fentanyl? It's because that's how the Chinese are getting us back for the heroin epidemic.
I'm sure.
I was telling us about before. The British India Trade Company flooded China with heroin, and that's how they made all their money. They made so much money on selling opium in China, and that the emperor was like, enough, and he made it a capital punishment to sell.
Well, wasn't there a thing called the Opium Wars?
Opium Wars, yeah.
Yeah, that's what this is all about.
That's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Every, like, dude, do you know Vietnam was not about stopping communism?
No, that's what Bill Maher says.
It was about the poppy fields of Vietnam.
No, Bill Maher's never wrong.
Oh, you're right. I mean, that's everything's based on drugs. I mean, I think people always fight over all this shit. I think the only thing that matters, I call God, gold, oil, drugs, and sex trafficking are the biggest trillionaire money
makers.
Look
at Venezuela right now, right? So I didn't know until recently that Venezuela has twice the amount of oil that Saudi Arabia has.
Well, you didn't know what? That's why they're down there.
And when I found that out, I knew we had to bring democracy to their people.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But the Russians and Chinese want to bring pseudo-capitalist communism to
It's either they give in to the capitalists or they give in to the Chinese and the Russians. Like, they're fucked either way right now.
Oh, they're fucked. And so that right handsome now, dude's going to be the leader
Juan
of it
Guaido?
All.
No, they banned him from.
The people are not on the side. Yeah. See, the internet happened.
He looks like Beto O'Rourke, doesn't he? He looks like the Argentinian version of Beto O'Rourke.
What people don't realize, there's also.
Guy couldn't beat a serial killer. Ted Cruz made jokes about being a serial killer to be a more likable person.
So there's a legacy of colonialism in Venezuela, just like in the United States. We have racism in
Brazil,
the United States. So they have it there, too. And right now, so the people rose up in 98 and they elected their own person, right?
Yeah.
And ever since then, the capitalists have been and they're all white. And they've been trying to fucking get it back. And so they did in 2002, kind of, for a little while. They pulled off a coup, so short-lived. And so that's what this is all about. This is about capitalists trying to get the oil. And did you know that there's a refinery? So why do they want to build that Keystone Pipeline? So they want to take those dirty tar sands and they want to bring it down. Why? Because there's a refinery down there that refines that dirty fucking oil. And the only place they could get it before was from Venezuela. And Venezuela knew it, so they were charging them a premium for their oil, their dirty oil, because they knew they had them over a barrel because of the Keystone Pipeline wasn't getting built. So that also has to do with why we're going into Venezuela right now. The American people have no idea what's going on.
But here's
and
the
I tell
deal.
They go, well, look at how the, they go, look how the people are poor. Look at how the people. I go, if you want to see poor people, look out your fucking window.
Yeah.
There's a tent city. If you wanted to help people, you don't have to go to another country or another fucking continent. There's more poor people in the United States than there are people in Venezuela.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more, dude. Couldn't agree more. And when you don't play ball with the world banking system, they have a system intact to choke you out. And everyone's, they're eating their pets.
No, they're choking them out.
Yep.
So for instance, the UK, since they won't give the oil to BP, the UK won't give them their gold. The Venezuelans, they have billions of dollars in gold. They just said, fuck you, we're not giving it to you. So that's how they're crippling them. And the economic sanctions that the United States is putting on Venezuela is not there to bring democracy to the people. It's there for the same reason they put sanctions on every country. It's because we want to bring that country to its knees so we can topple their government and install a puppet, just like we did in Iran, just like we did in Iraq, just like Libya, just like we're trying to do in Syria, Afghanistan. Now we're doing it in Venezuela, Honduras. It's the oldest fucking story in the book, and they hired the exact guys to do it. Donald Trump said he was going to drain the swamp. He put Elliot Abrams and John Bolton, the couldn't be swampier motherfuckers in the world. Literal war criminals he put in his cabinet so they can go do this in Venezuela at the behest of oil companies.
Yeah, right. And everybody wants to. I listen, dude, I'm a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, saying Donald Trump is part of the the system. I could lose a ton of listeners, and I get it. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, dude, this is the exact same playbook that Bill Clinton had. I said it on your show. If you look at their administration, there's so many similarities. Dude, the whole FISA report, the whole wiretapping thing, I think that's all scripted, man.
So Donald Trump came in the office, and he literally was a non-interventionist, and he was saying a lot of shit that pissed off the permanent state. People call it the deep state. I call it the permanent state, the people that are always there actually run our foreign policy. And he was getting reckless. He was going to fuck up their regime change wars, and he was going to fuck up their weapon sales. And they got his mind right, and that's what that dossier was. That dossier was them fucking, we're going to do this shit until you get your mind right. And Trump got his fucking mind right.
Yeah. Dude, he 100%. There's been assassination attempts. His daughter, I mean, she's married to the Benedict Arnold of our generation. It's either John Brennan or fucking Kushner are the biggest traitors I've ever seen, ever. And it's just, their plane had problems. They had to land. They're like, dude, this is going to be the whole time you're here. And he's just, boom.
So when he bombed Syria, that was his signal that he was starting to get his mind.
Yeah, he's cooperating.
That he is starting to go along. And so, okay, maybe we'll have the Mueller report come out and nobody will be indicted if you bomb the right people and you help us in Venezuela. That's exactly what's going on. I mean, this isn't a conspiracy. This is how this shit works. I have the videotape of them selling us into the first Gulf War. Do you remember how they did that? They had the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter testify in front of Congress that the Iraqi soldiers were going into their hospitals and nurseries and taking babies out of cribs and throwing them on the floor, and they were dying. And that turned America was against the first Gulf War until that happened, and then it flipped and we invaded, and so they got public support, and it's the exact fucking same thing they're doing
in Syria.
Now
same thing in Syria,
and the same thing in Syria. They got some little girl who's 7 years old who's tweeting in English and doesn't even have fucking internet access. It's just crazy, right? So he's gassing his own people as he's winning the war.
How come you guys? This happened to me in 2001. I was obsessed with bin Laden. I read two books about him. I was just like, if you'll make a note, all these kind of radical guys are trust fund babies.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, welcome.
Carlos the Jackal was a trust fund. Che Guevara's a trust fund. Bin Laden's a trust fund. How is it that they come from the elite world to cause all this havoc?
They're controlled opposition. they're done.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
All play ball.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's a very interesting thing. On the assassination of JFK, George Bush was in Dallas. He denied that forever. All these documents released, and it puts him right there in Dallas. On 9/11, we'll say 9/10, the Bilderberg Group was holding a meeting in New York City. Do you know who they were celebrating? The guest of honor was the Bin Laden family. Guess who was there? George Bush Sr. was there, and they were all there just like they were for the assassination of JFK to watch a big event that was about to go down. And who were the only people allowed to fly on 9/11?
Bin Laden.
The Bin Laden family. If you don't think this is all, like, dude, when he said the JFK, that was a big, that was a coup, dog. That was a coup, and that was the starting of down this road we're in right now that everybody thinks is permanent. I'd like to think that hope against hope that there's a chance it's going to stay, but this is all done on purpose. Someone just put out, dude, there's this video out there that every president, except for one, is related. Everybody they ran against was their eighth cousin. They're all related, dude. They're all related.
You're getting excited.
That's all I do. I yell on this show.
But what I'm saying is after 9/11, all my friends wanted to bomb the Middle East. Like, these are liberal rock musicians and screenwriters. I'm like, what the fuck is going on around
me? Isn't that weird?
This is madness. I decided to just opt out and care about my town. I'm not an American. I'm a Los Angelian. I was born here. This is where I care about the kids in Watts. I care about the kids in Echo Park. I care about people in Claremont. I care about my neighbors. That's fucking it.
Yeah.
The rest of the shit can go up like a brick shit house. I don't care.
It isn't.
And that's the truth. And I started focusing in AA on people that I knew and try to help them get sober and when you're purposeful in changing things around you,
yes,
the rest of the world can be what I believe it is. And I know this is going a little batty today, but I believe that we're right about 50% of this, that it's absolutely spot on. It's a conspiracy. It's crossing skull and crossbones. It's the Bushes. It's the Clintons. It's a conspiracy. But within the conspiracy, they're not controlling me. I can live my independent life around the people that I can influence and help. And that's what I try to do. You know, that really works for me. Because I don't watch the news. I don't care about the news.
Yeah,
I don't,
well, you're,
I don't,
you're smart. I mean, when they say the plane's going down, what do they say? Say, put on your oxygen mask first before you help anybody else. You have to take care of yourself before you can help those around you. And that's just the truth, man. I mean, like, I can get really depressed when I look around at, like, everything going on. We're bombing the fuck out of everybody. We are the new Nazis, man. And there's going to be a time to pay for that, man. It's going to be a time where the story will be written about the United States and how we terrorize the rest of the world. And people don't want to think about that because we get sold. I'm pretty sure in Nazi Germany, they were being told the same thing. We are going to go liberate everybody from the Rothschilds. We're going to do all this shit. It's just fun. You know, Israel. Everybody gets mad at Israel. I guarantee you the propaganda going on in Israel. Because Israel's just from L.A. down to San Diego. And
that's
the amount of money
most
that
people
gets
don't
pumped into there. And just the message of propaganda is these people hate you. Everybody hates you. The fucking Palestinians hate you. Blah, blah, blah. It's easy to demonize. I mean, you talk to Israel. They're like, fucking Palestinians are dog. Because they've been indoctrinated into this way of thinking. The same thing with us, where we hated all these Muslims.
So when do you think – so there's no doubt. It's amazing the magic trick they pulled off. 18 hijackers funded by Saudi Arabia.
Went to a strip joint. They went to a strip joint the night before and used their credit card, by the way.
You're going to die. You have to.
and so, you know, so they do this. And now we're spending $715 billion a year to bomb the world. And what's amazing to me in the
amazing investment.
Amazing. Right. I mean, we're going to end the same way all empires end, as we overextend ourselves militarily. And that's exactly when while people at home are dying on OxyContin and heroin because they got no jobs here. And you know, the guy who Jack Ma, who runs the Alibaba, which is the Amazon for Asia. And he said, you know, it's funny to watch Americans get angry at China. He says, this isn't our system. This is your system. You're the ones who decided to outsource all your jobs to our country. We didn't make you do that.
Nobody wants to claim responsibility for that nowadays, I notice.
Oh, Al Gore?
He said, imagine what your country would look like if said in the last 20 years, would you spend $15 trillion bombing people? If you would have spent $15 trillion investing in your own people, that's what you're supposed to be doing with your money. And the United States doesn't invest in their own people, and now they want to blame the rest of the world, just like they're blaming Russia for.
I'm
hey, Russia,
he would be that honest.
He was. No. Russia didn't make 80% of workers in the United States live paycheck to paycheck. Russia didn't make 30 million Americans not have health care in America, and that's why you got fucking Donald Trump. It's got nothing to do with Russia. That is another big smokescreen, just like every other bullshit smokescreen. We got WMDs is Russiagate is the new WMDs, and it's a distraction from people's real problems. And my question is, they don't even talk about the yellow vests here in the United States. So it's going on 6 months of nonstop rioting in France, and they already have health care, and they already have free college and dental, and they're fucking rioting. So at some point it's going to happen in the United States where you got nothing to lose. And that shit is coming soon, because when I get on stage in fucking Burbank, California, which is not Hollywood, by the way, Burbank, California is where they play Bill O'Reilly's tour on video when he comes to the movie theater, okay? So in Burbank, California, and I talk about this shit on stage, and those people are standing up for me right now. Those aren't people who listen to my show. I go on a Saturday night. They don't know I'm coming. And I get in there and I go, they don't think you need it. You should have health care. And people start fucking screaming. And I go, the guy who runs Starbucks right now is going to run for president because he's a billionaire who tells you can't have health care. I go, why is it every other industrialized country has figured out how to give each other health care? And they also figured out how to make better fucking coffee than Starbucks. Something about countries that give their people health care, they don't have to add pumpkin spice to their fucking coffee. And when I say this in Burbank, people get up on their feet. And when it used to be when I would make fun of Obama, people would look at me like I was stabbing Santa Claus. Right. But now they're starting to get it. Now they're starting. I go, you know, it used to be, you know, when everybody got mad at Trump, because when Barack Obama was president, there was this big gap between what Barack Obama was doing and what people thought he was doing.
Yeah.
And now when Trump is president, there's no gap. People know exactly what the government is doing, right? But so like when Trump banned all the Muslims at the airport, people got upset. They're like, you can't ban them at the airport. I go, why do you think there's refugee Muslims at the airport? Because Barack Obama bombed them for 8 fucking years.
Yes.
What does he have to do? Bomb them at the airport for you people to notice? And when I get to that point in the fucking show, people stand up and start cheering. They're fucking getting it now.
Yeah,
and I go, you know, they say, oh, but look at Trump's putting the immigrants in cages. Barack Obama built those cages. Trump is gassing the immigrants at the border. So did Barack Obama gas the immigrants. And they should be honored that they were gassed by the lesser of two evils.
Yes, yes. Look at Mexicans, dude. Do you think they want to come here, dude? No. They love living in Mexico. We've just destabilized that place with the drug war.
With the drug war, for
we've
sure.
We've done it, man. And when I say we're the new Nazis, we're the new Nazis. And there's going to be a day that we're going to pay for this because, you know, it's the old saying, like, what's it? Atrocities happen when good men say nothing. Is that I butchered that. But basically, dude,
yeah.
Everybody's.
All it takes for evil to persist is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah. And that's why I shout, because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, go, I tried. You called me a crazy fucking person, but I fucking tried to tell you all of this was going on.
People would tell me when I would go to comedy clubs and Russiagate was happening, I go, well, when the Mueller report comes out, there's going to be nobody indicted because Russia didn't have anything to do with this. And they go, how do you know that? Well, because I interviewed the top code breaker from the NSA, Bill Binney, who they tried to put in fucking prison for telling the truth about the crimes that are being committed by the NSA. That's how. Because if that fucking happened, if Russia hacked into the DNC server, there would be receipts. They would have the evidence because the NSA have a copy of every fucking thing that happens on the internet. And the fact that they didn't reveal that shows that that didn't happen because they don't have the evidence. So I knew that. And now after the point, I saw Flip Schultz the other night. He's like, you know, remember you were saying that about how he goes, you were right. I look fucking right. I was right.
I came on your show. I told you Carter Page was a plant. I told you fucking. Dude,
they couldn't even get Carter fucking Page. Yeah. They couldn't even get Carter Page.
Yeah, dude. It's all theater, bro. I think it's all theater. Do you remember
Carter Page is from the Comedy Store in the late 90s. I remember him too.
Papadopoulos. Not one of those stupid motherfuckers. Do you know how bad it was that after Trump won the election, fucking Putin asked somebody, how do we get a hold of them? They didn't even know how to fucking, they didn't have a contact. Nobody. They were so not in contact with the anyway. So that's just the world we're living in now, right? So Chris Hedges wrote a book called America: The Farewell Tour, and he went from city to city where capitalism has pulled the rug out from underneath people. Meaning, like you go to Rockford, Illinois, and so as soon as the big employer decides to take his company to Mexico, everybody's fucked. And what do? They build a bigger prison. That's exactly what they fucking
did. And they flooded with drugs.
And they did that in Flint. They did that in Rock. And they're doing it all across. That's what's. And now municipalities, instead of taxing people and taxing corporations, they're starting to sell off the things that sustain capitalism, which is their fucking infrastructure, which is their waterworks and sewer systems and all that, and the power, all that shit. And so now this is what's happening, is what Mark said. Capitalism is now eating itself. It's now eating the thing that sustains it. And we're just about the end of the empire. It's happening. It's coming quickly.
Yep. But not just America. Capitalism as a whole.
It's failing worldwide.
I don't believe there's nations. I believe, like John Lennon, imagine there's no countries. There are no countries. There's just corporations, and there's kind of families, and there's relationships.
Someone sounds like
those.
They wear a tinfoil hat. Huh?
Well, this is what Howard Beale. Howard, who told us this in what was that movie?
No, Network.
There are no countries.
That was in 1976, dude.
So how prescient.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, and they guess fighting with each other. You know, I got in a lot of trouble after Roseanne put out that stupid tweet, and it was a stupid tweet.
What tweet?
About the Planet of the Apes.
That was
right?
A Xanax. That was a Xanax tweet.
It's stupid. But the woman she did the tweet about was a huge part of the decision to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi, which led to open-air slave trades. And I go, you guys are defending a woman that is part of a decision that has Africans being sold for $400, okay? And I got murdered for that. I just got thrown in Twitter jail because they put there was a video of this black midget beating this woman with a belt. And I go, if I was there, I would have curb stomped that midget. And they said what I would do was inciting riot and being disrespectful. I'm talking about the guy who's beating a woman in a video, right? Now we're getting to the point where words are worse than actions.
Right.
And that's all part of the two teams.
It's the two teams. Sports does play into all this. People like rooting for a team. They like rooting for a president. Obama's my guy. Trump is your guy. I don't like your guy. It's like the playoffs, the basketball playoffs. And now it's fascism, which I believe is code word for Democrats. It's fascism. You can't say things. You have to say things the right way. Or oligarchy, like Republicans are like.
Well, the problem is,
so you got a choice between being a serf or being executed for saying the wrong thing.
Here's the problem.
Welcome to America.
The problem is this: the people are telling us that we can't say this, can't say that. These are the trust fund kids of the fucking oligarchy. Okay, Same things happened in Israel. Where's the liberal part of Israel? Got drowned out, got ran out, got hijacked. The liberalism has been hijacked by the fucking children of the people who have created all the problems.
Right, I can get that.
Let me. I say this on my show a lot. I think it's worth saying at the end here is that if you think about this, the Democratic leadership, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they are to the right of Trump voters. They are not the left. They are corporatist fascists because Nancy Pelosi is not for Medicare for All. Republicans are for single payer, the majority. They are also for a Green New Deal. They're also for ending the wars. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi are literally to the right. Politically thinking, then Trump voters, not Trump because Trump is getting his mind right, but they're to the right of Trump supporters. Think about how fucked up that is. And now you'd understand why 80% of the workers in America live paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
You know, liberalism hasn't destroyed this country. Greed has destroyed this country. Greed, not enough dollars, not enough. You can't have all that. Dude, if they brought back all the jobs, people would be able to buy more stuff. And like, who knows? Guys, it's been a great show. I appreciate you both coming on.
Thanks for having
me. I'd love to have you back.
Thanks for having
me, Jimmy.
Sam.
I'm sorry about the...
Even if it was a mix-up, it worked out.
It was a lot of fun. It was great. XG, thank you guys
so
much.
Yeah.
I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. We'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.